Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you feel edified? Don't you feel encouraged? Don't you feel the presence of the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Being in His presence, lifting His name on high, and allowing, as we lift Him up, allowing ourselves to see ourselves in Him. You see, the higher that He's lifted, the more humble we become. And the more humble we become, the more He's able to do in our lives His good pleasure. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If you would open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11. While you're turning there, how many like to have lights in your home? If they all of a sudden doubled the price, if you could, would you pay it? What if they tripled it? Would you pay it? If you could? You'd give up something else to get that light. You gotta have light. You gotta have light. You know, we pay a big price for a lot of things. We need to see what we really need to pay a price for. Luke chapter 11, very familiar verses of Scripture here, but let's read through this and let's just let the Spirit of God talk to us. Let's just pick it up in verse 29. The Gospel of Luke chapter 11, verse 29. You notice red letter, Christ is teaching, and it says, "And when the people were gathered thick together," notice that, highlight that. That's the only place you'll find in the Bible where this particular word's used. Very interesting. "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas, of Jonah, the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." Verse 35. Mark this down in your Bible. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. That the light which is in thee, which in you, which is in me, be not darkness. If the whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when bright shining of a candle doeth give thee light." Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for each song. We thank you for each testimony. We thank you for each person that's here, each soul that you died to be able to bring into the body of Christ. Lord, it's all because of you, and we thank you for it. But right now, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, give us utterance. By your Holy Spirit, give us hearing. By your Holy Spirit, let our lives be examined. You said that the entrance of thy words gives light. Lord, by your Spirit, let us receive your word. Let us understand, and let dark areas be illuminated. Let things that had never been brought to the light of day before, by your word, let them be brought out. Let us be built up. Let us be encouraged. Let us be strengthened by the revelation of your word talking to us tonight. We thank you in advance, and we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. You know, there was a missionary, a lady missionary, and she had been all different parts of the world, and she come back to this convention where her denomination was having a celebration of the missions that they had worked so hard the past year, you know, to get the word out. And as she left that convention, they were out on the outside of the tables there. They had different books that they were selling, different tapes and different things to raise money. And she walked by and she saw these globes. And she picked up that globe and she looked at where the Lord had put her in different places in the world sharing the gospel. And that person said, that globe is made of this, 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 and thus, whatever, you know. And it's this much. But then out of the corner of an eye, she saw another globe, and it was lit up. And she reached over and picked it up. And that light was shining out of the center of that globe. And he said, well, this one is three times as much because it's lighted. It cost an awesome price to get the light of the Lord in this world. It cost the blood of Jesus. It cost His very life because He is the light of the world. And a globe, come on now, a world that is lit is going to have a cost to it. It cost Him, but it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something to give up some things and allow Him to shine through us and bring light in dark situations, bring truth where there's deception, bring love where there's hate, bring unity where there's division, bring freedom where there's bondage, only by the light of the Lord. Now, there's so much in these verses of Scripture, and we'll just see what the Lord would do, but let's concentrate just for this moment on verse 35. He said, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Take heed. Remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about the Greek word skopios, where we get our English word scope. This is the same Greek word. He said, take heed. In other words, I want you to fine-tune that scope. I want you to fine-tune your binoculars, whatever it might be, to fit your eyes and to see the light that's inside you. To see the light that's inside of me. To make sure that it what? That it be not darkness. You mean I can have light in me that might be dark? I can have light in me that might not be what it should be. Now think about that. That's a profound statement. I mean, that's an oxymoron. That's something that just doesn't make sense. A light that's dark. A light that's dark. But he said, take heed. You see, in my life, I might be walking along and living my life just like I think I should. And everything is right according to my mindset, my understanding. But if it's not according to the Word of God, which is the light, then I'm in darkness. Take heed. See, I may be thinking everything's fine. I may be thinking everything's going just according to plan. But if it isn't what the Spirit of God is revealing out of the Word of God, it doesn't matter what it feels like, it doesn't matter what it looks like, there may be darkness. Darkness. Now, he's talking to the religious people here. The people who should know some things about God. Who should know some things about the Word. Who should know better. But here they are. They can't see it. Because they're so engulfed in what their tradition. They're so engulfed in what they've always done. They're so engulfed in what they think is their birthright. That's going to take care of them and their heart don't matter. It doesn't matter about my birthright if my heart isn't constantly being changed by Jesus. So if He tells me through His Word tonight that I need to take heed, then I've got to be in the place where I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to focus. I want to see by Your Holy Spirit. I want to understand something. Oh, glory be to God, Jesus. Okay, let's make sure we understand this. Go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. When he's talking about take heed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I wish we had time to cover this, but he starts out in this later chapter talking about Eve. And talking about how with a godly jealousy that he has, and how he's worried about the church, lest the church be deceived the way Eve was deceived. All of these things. Now, why did that happen? And we're talking about light tonight, and that's what the title of this the Lord gave me was Learning Light. Learning Light. Just because it seems like it's light doesn't necessarily, as Christ said, mean that it is. Right? Now, look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. Now, look at this. For such are false apostles,
deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Wait a minute. For such are false apostles. This word false apostles is pseudo apostelos. Pseudo, an image. You know, we use the word in English. It's a form, it's a shape. But he said that they were transforming. They were disguising themselves, that it wasn't real on the inside. They were going in light. They were going in the name of the light. They were going in a way that seemed like everything should be just what it should be. But he said, I want you to know that they're doing this in a false pretense. Now, we're tying that into the fact that take heed that the light inside of you, the light inside of me, be not darkness. We can have everything so made up in our mind that it's right that I can deceive myself. I can look back over my Christian walk and I could have just for sure told you that certain things out of this word was the way it was, and tonight I would have to get on my knees and repent of it. But I believed it with all my heart. And it was light to me. But in reality, when the Holy Spirit shined in my heart, it was darkness. It don't matter where we're at in ourselves, we can be in darkness. Now look what he says. Look at verse 14. This is why this is so important to us, to learn the light. And no marvel, don't be in a wonderment, for Satan himself is transformed, once again disguised, transfigured, into what? Into an angel of light. In other words, Satan can come. He doesn't always come as we see in the little storybooks with the pitchfork and the little pigtail and all that stuff, long-handled red underwear. Ezekiel 28 tells us that he's the most beautiful creature that God ever created. Just meditate on that Ezekiel 28 and see him. And the Word of God says that he was created in full pattern. He's the only entity that God ever created in the full pattern. And the vials, his music, his voice is enchanting. His voice, it will mesmerize you. Just, that's why he was the serpent in the garden, the cunning one, as a serpent would take and what? Hypnotize a bird. But the point is, we've got to be in the place where everything that's happening around us, that we've got to see that the devil can work. He was working here in this situation, and they did not even know it. They didn't understand it. The devil can work in your life. The devil can work in my life. Unless I'm in the place where everything that's being revealed to me, I don't just take it and stick it in my mouth like a baby would walking or crawling as it's growing up. I examine what I'm taking. And I line it up with the Spirit of God, and then I learn whether it matches God's Word or it just matches my understanding or what I want out of God's Word. You see, I was so hungry to make things go a certain way, I could make God's Word say anything I wanted it to say. But that was darkness. That was darkness. He said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There were seven people on an elevator. And they were going down, and all of a sudden there was a power outage. They were hung in that elevator. And we talked about this. It's a true story. And as they got hung in that elevator, there was panic. But all of a sudden, a lady in that elevator, she remembered she had a little pin light. She pushed that button on that pin light. Light coming out of the elevator. Immediately people calmed down. Light calms people down. So if something's coming into your life and my life that's light, but it isn't bringing peace, it isn't bringing a calming effect, instead it's doing something else, that's a good, pretty good judge of saying, wait a minute. Either I'm getting involved in this, or it's not the real light. As Paul's dealing with the church here at Corinth,
what he's dealing with. He's trying to bring to them, to bring them out of deception, but he's trying to cause them to be ready to hear what the Spirit would say and to move in that direction and to grow up in them, because he's telling them the same thing that the Spirit of God is telling us tonight. The church isn't here to make me happy. The church is here to make me holy. Make me holy. Because why? Because if you and I can get holy, and that's what we are going to be by the blood of Jesus and the Word of God, washing of the water of the Word going through us, that's how people start reverencing this house as God's house. They'll drive by, and as they drive by, there'll be an awe. And that awe will draw people into this place. Come on, I was in a church service one night. The Spirit of God was moving. We were in the altars, and there was people were being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were three men who, one of them at one time was saved, and he had fell back in the world. And they come in that church because why? They were in argument whether the Holy Spirit existed or not. When they walked in the door, half drunk, in cutoffs, didn't matter. God was going to use this situation to show them something. Immediately there was somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, and there they were. They had to see the truth. Whether they accepted it or not, the truth, the light was presented to them. That's what the Lord wants. He wants, when people drive by here, and there's a love and there's an awe of God's will and God's plan, that they're drawn in this place. And Jesus is exalted. Jesus is exalted before them. That's what it's all about. Can we just be real plain with each other? You see, if we're not careful... Okay, let's do it this way. Let's do it this way. Come here for a second, Jack. Rainbow makes up the pure white light. And you and I, we're set up in the natural world. We got to be out in the sunshine, and we that sunlight, that pure light, comes into our eyes. It causes us to take in vitamin D, all these different minerals and stuff, but it resets our pineal gland in the back of our brain. Where why? Where we can sleep, where we can rest. It keeps us on a very strict regimen of timetable. That's why you get messed up if you have to work nights.
Oh, yeah.
But it's because that light comes in our eyes. In our eyes. It's time that we stop allowing God just to shine on us. And we allow Him to shine in us. And we allow Him to show us everything in our heart. And as He shows me things, then I say, Jesus, I never saw that before. And I want You to change that. I want that Word in my life. And I want to be changed. I don't want to be the same tomorrow that I am today. Because guess what? I don't like what I am today. I don't, because when I come in contact in a service like this with the risen Savior, and I see myself, and I see Him, and I see the possibility of what I can be because of Him, I don't want to stay here. I want to come up in Him. I want to grow up in Him. I want to be filled with Him.
Amen.
Let's go to the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's look at a verse of Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "The wise," highlight that in your mind's eye, "the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. I myself perceive also that one event happened to them all." If I want to be wise, and I don't want that event that happened to the foolish to happen to me, I've got to have my eyes in my head. But you and I were in the body of Christ. Who's the head? Come on, Jesus. Jesus. If I can be wise and realize that He's in my head, I'm in His head because we're in the many-membered body. He's my eyes. He's my eyes. I can be wise about every situation. I don't have to go in what I know or what I understand, what I can do, or the information that's been filtered to me by the enemy, by the flesh, by the world, by anybody else. I can see it the way Jesus sees it. And as I see what He sees, it's a whole different light. It's a whole different manner. It's a victory in Him.
Amen. Amen.
Learning light. Learning to see that I don't know everything. I don't understand everything. But I'm in the One who does. I'm in the One. Look at that now. He said, "The wise man's eyes are in his head." Come on, let's thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. We're in Christ. He's our head. So we can see what we never saw before. Okay, let's just go to Proverbs. We're right here, close to it. In Proverbs 2:13, it says, Proverbs 2:13. Proverbs 2:13, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness? There's a way of darkness. But you know what? There's not one person that you know of, there's not one person I know of that know that they're walking to their death. If they really did, they would change that. But they're walking. And it's dark, but they can't see it. Christ said, "Take heed that the darkness that be in you, that the light, pardon me, that be in you be dark." That's what's happening to them. What do you think happened to all those people under Jim Jones? They thought they were right. They thought they were right. What happened to that Heaven Gates cult? What, 3 or 4 years ago? They thought they were right. Do you know how many churches, not just Pentecostal Church of God, not just Assembly of God, but how many churches are closing their doors in America every week? It's at a number that is so alarming that it will shake your very core. Why? Because somewhere along the way, they gave up on the light. And they're accepting and taking the fact in that, hey, I'm going to live. There's something in this world to live for. And I got something that I can make in my own and I can go on. No, no. We've got to have Jesus. We've got to have a destiny, a future, a hope. We've got to be delivered from ourselves. We've got to be delivered from this world. And I've got to have light for that to happen. Can you hit those lights back here for me?
Take heed, lest the light in you is darkness. You buy this bulb, it says light bulb. Light bulb. Really? False advertising. What light is in you? What light is in you? We got to have a light that is true. A light that is genuine. A light that will do us some good. It's not what we think. Thank you, Stuart. It's not what we think. Not what we want. It's got to be His light. His light. We'll settle for things. And for a period of time, it'll work. But only for a period of time.
Right.
Adam and Eve, when God told them, said, you know, when the day that you sin, that's the day you're going to die. Remember, the serpent comes and says, thou shalt surely not die. Sin come, I'm still alive. Am I? Which life are we talking about? Which life are we talking about? We've got to want what Jesus wants, His life, more than anything else. Okay. Yes. Okay. Remember we were reading there in Luke chapter 11? And Jesus starts talking about Jonas? Nineveh there, they were delivered from destruction because as Jonah was vomited up on the land there from that great fish, the fish god Dagon, they saw him, they accepted the message, their whole life was changed, and their nation did not go down because they said yes to the message. Okay? But let's go to 1 Kings chapter 10, and let's hold that in our mind as we think about the Queen of Sheba. And let's see, because this is how we make sure that we're coming after the light. This is how we know and understand that we're taking in what God would have for us, and it's the most important thing to us. 1 Kings chapter 10 deals with this. Verse number 1. 1 Kings 10 and 1. And when the queen of Sheba, and Sheba means oath, okay? When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Now she come from what today, if you looked on the map, it'd be modern day Yemen. And remember we had that attack on our naval vessel there out of Yemen when President Clinton was in office, right? Wasn't it Clinton? So that's what we're talking about. She come all the way from Yemen to Jerusalem. We're talking about a 1,500 mile journey. I love it when we start talking about 1,500 miles. Come on. Heaven, 1,500 mile cube. But she come. She traveled that great distance because she wanted light. She wanted light. She wasn't satisfied just hearing about Solomon. You and I, we're not satisfied in hearing about Jesus. No, we want to do more than hear about Jesus. We want to go where He's at. We're willing to travel where He's at. But to travel where He's at, I've got to leave my home behind. I've got to leave my way of life behind. I've got to leave what I know behind. And I've got to go to where Jesus is. And as I go where Jesus is, I'm going to meet the true light. Now look at this. She communed with Him all that was in her heart. All. Learning light. Light opens up our heart. You see, there's some things I couldn't talk to y'all about because I'd be afraid that y'all would say, man, that guy is a stone cold freak. But I can open up my heart to Jesus. And I can say, listen, I've got a little something in here. I got a little something in here. I need some help with this. I don't know what to do about it, but I know you do. And I want to tell you, I'm going to show you all my heart. I'm going to show you things that I don't like about myself, but I'm going to show you and tell you that I don't understand anything without you. What's that old saying they used to say, I don't even know how to come in out of the rain? And Solomon told her, oh, glory be to God. Now look at this. And Solomon told her all her questions. All her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Now I know this is Solomon, but let's look at it in the time of Jesus. Jesus is the king. And there's nothing hid from him anyway. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about this church. He knows what's going on. Things that haven't even been spoken of. He knows it. So let's talk to him about it. Let's take light in on every situation. And let's receive what he would say. Look at this. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and all the house
that he had built.
Can you imagine a house that took 14 years to build? Come on now. He spent 7 years on God's house, 14 years on his own. I mean, we're talking about something we can't even imagine. And the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of ministers in their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her.
She was overwhelmed. That's what we got to be. We got to be so overwhelmed with Jesus and what he's got that everything that we have, it means nothing. It means nothing. I mean, our spirit leaves us. We're just in awe of him. We're just empty out of ourselves, and we just sit here and we look. Look at his table. Look at the feast of the Lord. Look at his house. Look at everything that he has in the very army of the host of the living God that's on my side. I don't want no darkness. I don't want no dependence on myself. I don't want things the way that I think they need to be. I want the way the things that the king says is going to work. Look at this. And she said to the king, verse 6, it was a true report that I heard in my own land. Look at this. In my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not. Look at this. I believe not the words until I came. Until I came. You see, you and I, we can't believe everything that Jesus has to say until we come to him. Now when we look there at the verse number 1 where it says, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, that word heard from the Hebrew, it means she kept hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing until what? Until she had to go see Solomon. You and I, we got to keep preaching Jesus, 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 where they can hear. They can hear. They can hear. And they'll come. They'll come for themselves. They'll come and they'll see what's real. They'll see what's going on. They'll say, man, this isn't about anything other than the Lord. Jesus. Amen. And she said to the king, it was of a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. And my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me.
That's right.
Oh, glory. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Jesus is greater than you and I have ever heard.
Right.
Nobody can tell you how good Jesus is to you. Because only you know it. And that's what she's saying. She's saying people have told me about Solomon and how great he is, but it's nothing until I see it for myself. When I see Jesus, when you see Jesus, we see him in the way that we need to personally. And it's the most magnificent, wonderful thing that can ever happen to an individual. And when we see him, we realize, oh my, the richness of being alive, the richness of being in the body of Christ, the richness of having a destiny, the richness of knowing that this life is just a training ground of me being used by the Lord, bringing people in, and us all working to the very ultimate end of being with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Now look at this. She said, happy are thy men. Glory. Happy are thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. That's us. We stand before Jesus. And this word happy, in a lot of places in the Old Testament, it's translated blessed. But if we want to leave it happy, that's fine. But look what the word said. Happy because the men and the servants, because they stand continually before thee and hear wisdom. When I get down and out on myself, is when I'm listening to what I want. When I'm listening to what my flesh is wanting. When I'm listening to what the world is saying instead of listening to what Jesus is saying. But if I want to be happy, if I want to be blessed, I've got to stand before the Lord. And I allow Him to talk to me and I keep hearing. I keep hearing because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I keep hearing. It's not a one word. It's a continual flow in my life. Now look at this.
Blessed, verse 9, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he the king to do judgment and justice. But now here's what I want to read, verse 10. And she gave, she come to the light, look at this, she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices, and very great store, and precious stones, and there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She gave everything she had. She gave the best of what she had. If you figure this up, that gold $1,000 an ounce now, I mean, just the gold would be over $108 million, just in gold. But the spices, that's where the money was at.
Yeah, right.
She gave it all. What does that mean to you and I? What do spices do? They change the flavor of things, right? What's she saying? She's giving her spices to Jesus, in a sense. Come on, we're talking about a type where she's not influenced by the spices, but the one she's giving them to is her influence. Come on, come on now. Solomon was going to be her influence because he was the light. He examined her heart. He answered every question she had. When we come to Jesus and we allow Him to be the one that influences, we allow Him to come into our life and show us everything there is to be seen in reality, in truth, in light, everything changes. Everything changes. She gave it all. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices, very great store, and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. You've got so much more to give the Lord tonight. You've got everything that you are. And everything that you are was worth Jesus. Everything that you are was worth the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That's how valuable you are, and you give it back to Him. And when you give your life to Him, when I give Him my life, that's when we truly enter into a new realm of life that we never had before. Victory. Victory. Truth. Freedom. Being blessed. Being happy, because it's not about anything else than His plan. His leadership. His guidance. His direction. Okay. I got to read just a couple more verses. I won't hold you much longer. The Lord bring these to me. Let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, yes, Lord. Verse number 8. Ephesians 5, 8 in the New Testament. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Look what he says. He says in Ephesians 5, 8, for ye, he's writing to the church, that's us. For ye were sometimes, what? Darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Glory, for you were sometimes in darkness, sometimes in the past. But now, present tense, tonight, right now, you and I, we are light in the Lord. He just didn't say that we had light from the Lord. He said we were light. Look at that. Read it. You're light, ye light in the Lord. Ye, you are a light. Because He's inside of you. Come on now, He was inside of you at the moment that you, what? Had a new birth. So, Christ said, take heed that the light be in you, not be darkness. I don't want to push Him out. I can push Him out and choose another light if I want to, but I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that because we want what? We want to walk in the light. Because He commanded us to do it, and if He commanded us to do it, that means you and I can do it. Okay, two more verses. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go over past Philippians, and the next book over is Colossians. And let's see what Paul wrote to the church at Colossae here. In chapter 1, this is something that if we don't shout about, we better have our shouter checked. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us. Come on, say, that's me. Made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what?
Light.
In light.
Amen.
Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. No more darkness. No more darkness. I have been delivered from that power. And now I'm in the light. Now you're in the light. In the light. In the light. So I got to do what He said to the church there that we read in Ephesus. I got to walk in that. I got to walk in it. If something comes up and I'm not being happy, I'm not feeling blessed, I got to get back to where I can hear what the Lord's saying.
Right.
I hear Him. And as I hear Him, the blessings come. The happiness comes. And I start becoming humble under His hand. And He said, if I was humble under His hand, He would lift me up in due time. He would lift me up in His perfect season. So let's be humble in the Lord. And let's walk in that light. And let's give Him everything we've got. Let's allow that light just to go all the way through us. Let's open up our eyes. If you and I wanted this light to come in from the outside, we'd have to raise these mini blinds. Let's open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and let's see the goodness of God. Let's see the plan of God. Let's get a vision together. Proverbs 28:29-18 says, where there is no vision, my people perish. Let's have a vision together in the will and the plan and the power of the Lord. Okay. Okay. I'll close with this thought. There's a little boy. He was asleep upstairs. He's about 6 years old. And he was awakened by the smell of smoke. And as he was awakened by that smell of smoke, he got to listening, and he could hear fire sirens. And he could hear wood popping and crackling. And he started hollering for his mama and his daddy. But you see, his mama and daddy, they were downstairs. And this fire was between him and them. And there he is. He's trying to figure out what to do. I mean, it's getting critical. He's got to make a decision. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? He comes and he goes to the window. And as he goes to the window, he can't see out. And he tries to get the window up, and it's been painted shut. So the only thing he knows to do is to go higher. Listen to me, by the Spirit of God. He don't stay where he's at. He goes higher. He goes higher. He goes higher. And as he goes higher, he goes up in the attic. And there's a place up in the attic that where they can come out through one of those dormers, you know, the bells, and they got a little deck there, and he comes out on that deck, and he's looking, he's panicking, his smoke's coming up all around, and it's dark, and he can hear all these commotions, he can hear all this racket that's going on, and he feels the very flames, he smells the smoke, and inside of himself, he's scared to death, and all of a sudden, he hears a voice, he hears his dad, and his dad's hollering at him, and his dad says, son, jump. Jump. And he says, Daddy, I can't see. I can't see. I don't know where you're at. He said, don't worry.
Come on.
I see you.
Right.
I see you.
That's right.
I see you. And he jumped. He jumped into the safety of his dad. Come on now. You and I, we got to see the Lord. We've got to jump into the safety of the Lord. We can't save ourselves. We can't stay where we're at. Fire's coming up. The devil's coming up. He's doing new things. He's working in many different ways. But we've got to go up to where Jesus is. And we've got to allow Him to save every situation in our hearts, souls, and lives. He's the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we love You. We worship You. We honor You. We thank You for grace. We thank You for mercy. We thank You for love. We thank You, Lord, that You have put us here together. We're so thankful for each soul, Lord, that You're raising and growing up us together in Your body. Lord, but at the same time, we just ask You, Lord, that Your light shine in our hearts. We ask You, Father, I stand before You. I need Your love in correction like never before. I don't know what to do.
I honestly don't. Unless you tell me, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But I want your will to be done through my life. I want your will to be done through my family's life. And I know that every soul in this building, every soul that calls this building home, they want your will to be done. And we just ask that by your Spirit that we see the true light in every avenue, in every plan, in every will that you have for each one of us. And I want each person to be blessed. I want them to be happy in you because they're continually hearing from you. They're being built up in you. They're being encouraged in you, Lord. Oh, let it be. Let it be, Father. Oh, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. If the Spirit of God has spoke to you about any of these verses of Scripture, and you know what He's speaking to you about, would you come and just spend some time with Him at this altar? It's not anybody's business, but it's just between you and Him. Between me and Him. And just allow Him to comfort us and to bring us out of all things that would hurt, that would hinder, and bring us to a strength in Him, an encouragement in Him that we never had before. God loves you so much, and He sees the ability in you that He's never saw before, because you're at a point in time where He said that as sin abounded, grace would abound that much more. And so with the grace of God, you and I, that is sufficient, we can do all things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you. Praise you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, he fills up his people, and then they take what he fills them up with, and they give it out.
Yes, amen.
They give it out.
That's right.
And you may not like the sound of this, but right now, if you're a little down, and you need a little, just a little pick-me-up in the Lord, come up here and let our sister lay her hands on you and pray for you. And what God's gave her, she's going to be a conduit. It's not her, but it's her spirit.
Yes.
She's going to be a conduit for the Lord to put it in your life.
Amen.
That's everybody in the building.
Yes.
If you need anything from the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. They so much. They so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Richard, our first son.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Everyone, if you would you come to the front here? Here, if I can just form a nice straight line across the front. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does it help you right here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. She's going to go down from here and she's just going to pray with you. And as she makes contact with you, in the name of Jesus, you receive the oil of gladness. The Lord's going to put something in our heart that will be so different when we go out in the world tomorrow, next week, and next month, that it cannot be denied that they were with Jesus. They were with Jesus. Believe you receive, when the moment she touches, it's not her, but it's the anointing that is on her, and she's going to be a conduit. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will leave you out.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Oh, you're the healer.
Has that gone? Lord, I believe you're my healer. Has anybody else had it gone?
I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
Stripes of Jesus. Come on. Not just physical healing, but
all that's wrong inside of here.
Amen.
I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm made right.
Yes.
I'm made right.
Yes.
Because he took what I couldn't take and made it right.
Yes.
Oh, glory.
Yes.
Glory. Yes. The devil needs to know that. Stand strong in the Lord and say, next time he comes to you, say, I am healed by the stripes.
Amen.
I'm made right
by Jesus.
Amen.
I'm made right. I'm not accepting. I'm not receiving. I'm not going in the way that you're thinking, leading, talking. I'm going in the way that the Word of God says that Jesus Himself bore my sin, carried my sorrow. Oh, glory. Glory. He Himself, Matthew 8:16, He Himself. He done it for me.
Right.
He done it for you.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody got anything to say?
I want to say that I love the Lord, and I praise Him for the joy that He gives to me. Because you know what? He gives it to me. And the only way that I can get rid of it is if I give it away. And if I give it to other people, he just expels it. But if I give it to the devil, he completely takes it away. And it's something that don't belong to the devil. My joy is not for the devil. My joy is for the people around me. And I love Him and I'm praising for the joy of the Lord is my strength. It is my strength. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't have any joy. And I just love Him and I praise Him. And I'm so glad for the change that I've seen in my family. I'm so proud of David.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of everything that's happened in our church. And I'm so glad that He is my strength and that He is my joy and that He's just going to keep expounding my joy.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I had one other little thing, a little illustration I wanted to do. Send it toward.
Come here.
Close your eyes. You know, the light, and I'll explain this in just a minute, but the light is what you and I are going to go by. The light is what we take our nourishment by. If I told her to close her eyes and to reach her hand in here and pull out something and eat it, would you do it? What does it feel like?
I don't know.
Huh? Would you eat it?
No.
It's just prunes. It's
prunes. I don't feel like prunes with your eyes shut. It's prunes.
But here's the point. There was a nomad. It was traveling through the desert in a caravan. They'd been going to the desert for many, many days, actually weeks, and they were traveling. And as they stopped one night, he woke up during the night and he was hungry. He went and he grabbed his knapsack and pulled it over next to his little old, whatever it ain't a bed, but whatever it is you want to call it, that he was laying on. And he flipped up the little candle, struck a match, lit it, and reached down in that little knapsack, and he pulled out some dates. I didn't have no dates, so I'd run dates. But he pulled out a date, and he started to stick that date in his mouth, and he seen a worm crawling out of the date. He threw it out, reached in again, another worm. Reached in again, another worm. All of a sudden, he realized he's got more hungry than he's got dates without worms. Load the light out. Reached down and started eating the dates. Think about it.
Yeah.
Accept the light be in you. Light. He Christ said it would be darkness.
Right.
We can blow the light out if we want to. We can eat of our own selves. We can eat of this world. But we better know what we're eating.
Right.
Christ's words, He said they are life. So anything else is what? There are only two sources.
Amen.
Anything else is dead.
Yes.
So we got to make sure of what we're eating of. Any other testimonies?
It's so wonderful to see unity.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful to be in a church where there is unity.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
tonight, at the beginning of the service, that there be unity here tonight.
Amen. Amen. Hey, come on. So, thank you, Jesus. Anybody else got anything to say you want to add? Or?
I just want to testify. We had this testify earlier. It's about our vacation this last weekend. And me and my wife have dealt with a lot of things. And we'll do work on the girls now. And Katie still say, you know, Jesus, do this, Jesus, do that. So we went to an indoor water park, and they always, the pool stuff ours, always give her a vacation. And we told her, you know, we're told, that she's healed, you know. There's no doubt in our mind she's healed us. I mean, because there's no point in that. You know, it's just the devil. And so we went to play for one few hours in the water park. She's fine. Any, every time we've been in the, you know, in the pool, we got sick. But we told Lord, you know, we knew she's healed. And she did.
Dominion. What should I give unto you? Now, of course, you have dominion. But I have just as much as I have faith to believe.
Amen.
And that's what you're doing. You're increasing that, and you're instilling.
Right.
Drop by drop. Come on.
Good. Lord. Yes. Good. Yes. That, Mark, that's great for the instead of another generation growing up thinking, well, maybe it could, it's possibly, maybe, might, I don't know. And she's good. Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes and amen.
Amen.
Right. That's no doubt. Start right then. You're doing a wonderful thing, brother. You're doing a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anybody else? Hallelujah. What was it?
We got some funny ones too.
I'm going for this.
Corey just told us we had the same week. Kate can't hardly go to the doctor. I mean, she screams, and yeah, even if she's a walk, even if it's not her, she just goes there, and we're going. She hates it. So she goes to her yearly checkup at the health department Friday, and they always do a fingerprint, check her iron, and all that. And she got in there, and I had to go to watch the baby, and keep her outside. So she said, "Well, both of us are screaming."
Right.
And they went in there, and Kate, and she didn't say anything. Kate said, "They're not going to hurt me today. They're not going to hurt me." And Mom said, well, okay. And they got back there and the lady said, "Oh, you were fine last time. We won't even worry about it."
What were we talking about?
The lady was a Christian. She asked me where I was in church and talked about God the whole time. She said, "Oh, I'm not going to do this time." I was like, "Oh, okay, thank you, Lord."
She's playing her word.
That's right. The lady always did that.
And they did that. Oh, my kid does well. They
did reach for the Lord, don't you? Come on. Anybody else?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I appreciate y'all staying hooked up with the Lord.
Well, if you ain't going to hook up with the Lord, you're going to hook up with the devil. Right.
Yeah.
So it's better to be with the Lord than it is tonight.
Yes.
And any time the church starts turning you up, the devil's going to do his best to mess up.
Oh, yes.
He's going to step in, or at least twice try.
Right. And will it be blessed?
Sure. For sure.
That is
true. That's his heart's desire.
Y'all going to have a better week coming up than what you had this past week?
Oh,
amen.
Oh, yes.
In Jesus' name, yes.
Yes, I am. I know I am. Any announcements, anything coming up? Anybody know so? Baby showers, we have one. Got a little coming.
We had no one.
I just want to say I'm putting that application in tomorrow.
John's going to go to the end of this job.
There you go.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. There's nothing else. Everybody stand. Corey, you did the honor of the commissioner.
I was just going to say that this week or tomorrow, let's all just thank the Lord. That even if we just all just say it once, let's just thank the Lord for Brother Jack getting his job.
Yeah,
we declare right now that that job belongs to him. Let's just go ahead and thank God for it. First thing in the morning when you get up, thank God for Brother Jack getting his job.
That's right.
Yes. God, we praise him and worship you for the service we had tonight, God, for everything you've done in everybody's lives, God, for just giving us the unity to all get in, just all do our parts, God, to that we were able to allow you to do what you wanted in the service, God. God, praise and worship you for this job that Jack is going to get. It's already his in the name of Jesus. God, I praise you this week is ours in the name of Jesus. This week is
given. That's right. Yes.
However you use it, God. God, praise and worship you for everything that you are and you've done in our lives, God. Once again, in Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Your name, you know that? Yes.
You too.
Great leading.